Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
After the block field goal at the end of the first half, the 2 minute drive, it seemed like there was a lack of urgency there. There was something going on.
There was a penalty, so we were negative yardage.
No, but there was a lot of time between snaps.
Well, when the penalty happened, then we're behind the chains. No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. Do you want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple. Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask. What? Jesus, Tony.
That is the great Baker Mayfield making excuses for the fact that he sucks and is going to underwhelm. And then, oh, are we really playing young black teenagers? Who picked out young? When did I stop controlling this thing?
You keep saying you were going to add.
This, you told us to put this in the system. No?
I did. I told you to put young black teenagers into the system.
Was their symbol a YBT?
Yes.
Okay.
I would imagine.
Because I sold a lot of these like when I worked at the music store.
I just know from House Party 2,
yep.
Where the guy was like, lean pot, bean pie black. And then he had to be told, don't front like you're African-American.
Uh-huh. So that right
nobody
there.
Nobody knows that I got Kelly Bundy.
And Bert Breer is joining us right now.
I didn't know you worked at a music store.
Oh, yeah. So it was the best job. Like, when I was in high school, it was a music store and, like, a video store.
Right.
And what was awesome was that it was right in the center of, like, this part of the city was urban, and this part of the city was like ultimate white trash. So it was like Alan Jackson and like Bone Thugs and Harmony were our two highest selling ones.
Bone, 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 bone,
bone, bone, bone, bone, which, by the way, I think was one of my favorite albums we would play.
Bone was popular when I was in college, because I went to school in Ohio.
Yeah.
Super popular.
We're straight from Cleveland.
It was funny because
those video music stores don't exist anymore right?
Of course not. I mean, you don't need them. You don't need them. But
I had strawberries here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. What
it was the equivalent of a strawberries. It was called Turtles that I worked at.
I used to go to one called Tomatoes.
Yeah, it was kind of like strawberries. But there was a guy who came in one time and was like, y'all got that bone? And I said, excuse me? You got that bone? And I'm not quite sure what you mean. And then this person walked up, like, "Oh, yes, sir, the Bone Thugs and Harmony album is right over here, sir."
I know every. I could tell you every lyric to the song "Mo Murder," but I don't trust myself to do it without saying the N-word 75 times.
Okay, we had an edited version, Fred, that we would play at the store that they sent us.
It was just beep 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 beep.
No, they would drop it out, and it sounded like they had like massive flow
because
you thought they were just like cutting themselves.
Murder, come again. Hey, Mr. Ouija.
Well, Bert, you can actually join in on this because this is a pretty interesting article involving Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
Finally, the reporter. What's his name? Tony
Grossi.
Yeah, Tony.
Who, by the way, like, there are two reporters in Cleveland, Tony Grossi and Mary Kay Cabot, who have been covering the team since, like, they covered Belichick.
Okay.
There. So Tony's been there forever.
And Mary Kay Cabot is kind of like the, with Jackie McMullen. Like, she's like the most respected person around there. And apparently this dude is the Dan Shaughnessy, right?
Right.
Like, he's the crap stirrer. And Baker Mayfield does not
like
this
guy. And they used to work together, but they don't work together anymore, yep.
Okay, so he starts off talking about as to why he asked the question that he did, blah, 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 blah. And he said the backstory. It's a fact that I was outspoken against the drafting of Mayfield. Some stuff I wrote and said before the 2018 draft was not pretty. Can't take it back.
But was true.
You said, but I tried. Well, maybe it will be. But I tried hard to be open-minded when he arrived, and it didn't take me long to realize I was wrong about some of the assumptions. There was a time I approached Mayfield at his locker early in his rookie year and complimented him for the way he was working and handling the difficult time sitting behind Tyrod Taylor. This was before his coming out party in the Jets game in relief of Taylor. He sat sitting in his locker, working his phone, never looked up and said, yeah, appreciate it. Message received. So the understanding was that we would do our respective jobs without much personal interaction. Fine. Bernie Kosar's rookie season was a lot like that. No problem. As he picked up the pieces of a broken 2018 season, I became convinced.
Wait a second. Bernie Kosar's rookie season?
He's been around for a long time.
I know he covers like Belichick, but like, God, that's like 85, right?
I guess so.
Belichick's the guy who broke.
Kosar is a rookie. Kosar was done when Belichick was there. So keep going.
He said Belichick
broke his heart. Belichick said that he wasn't a football player anymore.
He said, the appropriate times I inquired to the PR department about one-on-ones with Mayfield. Nothing came of them. I was never sure if he actually received these requests or if there was an understanding they would never do them. Fast forward to this year's preseason, the joint practice sessions in Indiana. I had a story idea about Mayfield's jersey number 6 and wanted to ask him about it away from the media group. I waited for the session to end, approached him, and asked if he could take a couple questions privately. Ain't happening, he said coldly, not breaking stride. Again, message received. I reported this exchange to a few club officials, one very high up in the food chain, and nothing came of it. One of the responses was, that's Baker. Sure is. The bad news. I hate having a confrontation with the Browns quarterback at a time where their season swings on a vine. I understand the frustration of what's transpired, the pressure of lofty expectations, the difficulty of the task ahead, and I understand that he operates best as an angry man. He has said as much. But I am not the only person he has disrespected along the way. The stare down of Hugh Jackson last year, the put down of Daniel Jones in a national magazine interview, which, by the way, is going to come back to haunt him. The interference in Duke Johnson's personal squabble with management. I don't know about that one.
We can get into that.
Okay, because those are just the obvious occurrences that receive widespread attention. But there have been others that were brushed aside as, quote, Baker being Baker. What's disconcerting is that nobody in the organization has sat him down and lectured him on the error of his ways. On the field, too, he has been given a pass by the coach and general manager that defies their responsibility to hold everyone accountable for the underachieving performance of the team. Mayfield has the toughest job in the team, no doubt. For that reason, he has to be the most mentally tough for the team to succeed. For the first time, I question if he has that in him.
Yep.
So everyone's turning on this guy.
So do you know what initially set off Baker about Grossi?
What's that?
Compare him to Manziel.
Oh, so when was this?
So he was leading into the draft.
So he did an accurate.
So he said he compared Manziel. No, but that's what it is. And Baker hates.
Sure.
Hates the Manziel comparison because Baker's not Manziel. And
he's worse.
If I were him, here's the thing is like, and it's like a subtle difference, but I remember like, you know, I've been doing this long enough to have like a catalog of what like different scouts have said about different players over the years. And like one of the things that was interesting about comparing those two, because they're both from Texas, they're both undersized, they both have a freewheeling style,
both won
the Heisman,
all
that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So like the one thing that was like, a scout pointed this out to me, is like, you know what the interesting thing about Baker is? When Baker gets in trouble, it's like with his teammates. When Baker gets in trouble, it's normal college kid stuff. Manziel was getting in trouble with like Drake. Manziel was getting in trouble in Vegas.
Right,
whatever Baker did, like when he got in trouble in college, it's like stuff you could see yourself doing, you know? Yeah. Like with Manziel, it was like, what the hell? Who does this guy think he is?
Right, it was next level.
Yeah, and so like Baker's teammates always loved him. He was the most popular guy in the building in Oklahoma. He's a very popular guy in Cleveland. I do think that there's an issue with this now. And when he was in college, he'd get away with this, and it's always worked for him. And that's why I don't blame him, right? Like, being defiance worked for him. Being defiance, why you go from, like, people telling you can't play in the Big 12 to starting week one as a true freshman at Texas Tech, right? Like, as a walk-on, which is unheard of, right? Texas Tech saying you can't start anymore and being able to go to Oklahoma, a better school, and start, like, people saying you can't play in the NFL, becoming the number one overall pick. All that's about defiance, right? So I understand why he's that way. Here's the difference between being a college quarterback and being an NFL quarterback. Who's the highest paid person in a college football program?
Oh, the coach.
Who's the highest paid person in a football, in an NFL football?
Usually the quarterback.
The gunner.
Yeah.
Usually the quarterback, right? So, I feel like you can carry yourself a certain way. And I don't think, like, there's anything malicious. I don't think it affects his own performance. In fact, I think it probably enhances his performance.
That's pretty sad.
But I do think this. I'd say this. Like, I think you have to know, like, in a college football program, everyone takes on the personality of the coach, right? I think in the NFL, it's a little different in that with the best teams, a lot of times the team takes on the personality of the quarterback.
Or the highest paid guy on the
team.
Right,
and so if the quarterback's freewheeling, if the quarterback kind of like is defiant, if the quarterback is this way and isn't like CEO-like and buttoned up, I do think that the team takes on the personality of the quarterback. And what do we see from the Browns?
How much is this
Baker
his
can
fault?
Challenge all of this. Baker can channel all of this, right?
Yeah.
Can channel all of this. And like we've seen that. We've seen that since he was 18 years old. But when he, like, if other guys are acting this way, can they channel?
How much of it?
I don't think they can, and that's what we're seeing with the Browns.
See, I think that I don't think he's top of the list of people to blame. I think it goes Freddie Kitchens. I think that also,
I think John Dorsey deserves some blame for the offensive line.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Offensive line's always been number two, and then I would go Baker.
Who thought Freddie Kitchens would be good?
Yeah, that offensive line's having a lot of trouble.
You thought? Hold on, stop.
All right,
why?
Hang on. We have to break. You're getting very deep into Cleveland. By the way, Nick Chubb looks awful behind that line. The way that he runs for long distances at a time. All right, we will be right back.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Sports
Touch. I can't believe he did that.
Rich.
Didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
When I broke for the street,
who else could it be?
Yo,
get yours. Dude is 31, living in his mom's crib. Ex-convict was paroled there after his long bid. Cornrows in his hair, still slinging, got a crew. They break his mom's furniture.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Let's move on for Baker Mayfield. Let's get going on the. Because I think that was a wall question, which kind of.
It wasn't. It was Freddie Kitchens, who he had a good reason for liking.
Okay,
there's a story here. He knows he's known Freddie Kitchens a while.
Okay, well, we have limited time.
Okay.
All right, so the trade deadline.
Yep.
It came and went.
Yep.
Were you surprised about the lack of activity on the actual day?
I mean, we saw some activity beforehand with Ramsey and Tunsil and more recently Sanu and Sanders. So there had been some action. I think two things happened. Number one, I think there's some groupthink in the NFL that affected things. And I think some. Because teams have been so aggressive putting players out there now, you're seeing good players in the market. And I think there were a few GMs that put players out there And we're like, holy crap, look at all this interest. And then they start to look closer. And it's like, well, this smart team wants him. This smart team wants him.
Oh, yeah.
This smart team wants him. Maybe I should just keep him. Right. So I think there was a little bit of that. And then I think the other thing was that the prices went up. And that sort of changed the dynamic where, you know, it goes from, okay, we're willing to part draft with draft picks to, that's a little much, you know. And so we saw Sanu, I think, went for more than he would have 2 or 3 years ago for a second-round pick. Same goes for Sanders. And then you saw the massive hauls that Ramsey and Tunsil got for the Jaguars and the Dolphins. And so the combination of the prices going up, and I think better players being out there, and then teams sort of reevaluating, like, wait a minute, maybe I should hold on to this guy, played into it.
All right, so you were in Dallas for a while, and then there's the situation with Jamal Adams, and there was interest from Dallas, and now he's all butthurt about it.
Yeah.
But he had said that he would not mind going home and playing in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
What's your read on him, how he reacted to that whole thing, and what's the truth behind it?
I would not be surprised if he is the Jalen Ramsey of 2020, where if things don't get better there, like we've heard. I mean, this isn't the first time either. You heard the interview at his locker a few days before this, right?
Where he says, like, he doesn't do losing.
I come from winning, right? Yeah. Like, which I don't know. LSU didn't beat Alabama much in college, but I think that there's definitely some with him. I think there's definitely some feeling like he could wind up being like Jalen Ramsey. He could wind up like in a position where his relationship with the coaching staff is untenable going forward. Like, I think the next 8 games are critical with Jamal Adams and whether or not he's a part of the Jets going forward. Now, the good thing for the Jets is they do have him under contract for a couple more years. So if it ever did come to that, they would be able to get a return. I don't think he's going to be faking injuries. I think he'd have a hard time staying away from his teammates, but I wouldn't be totally surprised if at some point next year, if things don't get better, if he becomes one of these guys who starts to try to make rumblings about getting traded.
Ultimately, you're talking about disgruntled players, and Trent Williams had a nice press conference of almost 20 minutes yesterday where he basically named names and told stories. And it basically unprecedented how much detail he went into and how the Redskins,
if what he's saying is true, yes. I don't blame him at all.
Exactly. I mean, it's just another brick in the wall. Can the Redskins front office really be this bad in how they handle players?
You've watched the NFL for the last...
Yeah, I have, but I mean, it just... To hear a player go point by point in detail, it is unprecedented.
Yeah, and I think that you see why this thing got so personal and why the Redskins didn't trade him. Because it had gotten so personal. And, there are certain corners of each NFL building where, you know, if you take shots at them, it becomes a little more personal for teams. And the medical corner of every building is that way. And so I think this became personal for Bruce Allen. They totally mismanaged this whole situation. And you can go back to the summer, refusal to even entertain the idea of trading him. And then you think about like what happened the last 2 months when he didn't show up and it was clear he wasn't going to show up. Like, why didn't you at least try to ascertain what his value was going to be? The problem was, like, if you're going to trade him, think about being the other team now, right? So you've got a 31-year-old guy who has, like, off-field issue, has had off-field issues, had a drug suspension at one point, right? Has had health issues, like, both on the field and off the field. Are you going to complete it? Like, they put him out there Monday afternoon. Are you going to complete a deal in 24 hours? Probably not, right? And if the Redskins are asking you for a first-round pick, which is what the asking price was, I was told, are you going to like be able to get all your ducks in a row where you're going to feel comfortable within 24 hours trading a first-round pick away for the guy? And he's a great player.
Well, I heard with his injury history and his age that some teams did not value him at a first-round pick.
Right, but if you'd had, like, say if you give it a week or you give it 2 weeks, like, say they put him out there on the market on October 15th. Just throw that date out there.
Okay.
Okay? If he's out there then, like, at least then, if you're another team, you have a chance to maybe bring him in for a physical, sit down and talk with him, see where he's at.
They had no interest at all in trading him.
I just think,
even though they put him out there, it was just a
I think it was for show. Like, they did get offers, but I think they knew that it was going to be hard for any other team. I mean, look, like, hey, let's see if we can get a first-round pick is different than, like, seriously going through the process of wanting to trade the guy. I think if they had gotten, like, you ask, are they serious? Well, I think if a team had been come to them with a first-round pick and said, we'll give you our first-round pick for Trent Williams, then, yeah, I think they would have done it. I think given the circumstances for any team, I think if you'd done this 2 weeks ago, maybe somebody would have given you a first-round pick. If you had done it at a point in the calendar where another team had a chance to bring a guy in and give him a physical and sit down and talk with him and go through his medicals and all that different stuff, then I think somebody might have given them a first-round pick for him, because he's the top two or three left tackle in the league when he's right. But when you're trying to do that in a 24-hour period, another team's looking at it like, we can't do that. Like, yeah, maybe we'll throw you a two or a three and roll the dice because it's such an important position and he's such a great player. But we can't give you a first-round pick when we don't have access to all the information that we need to make a deal like this, and there's no way that we can gather it in the amount of time you've given us to do it.
All right. Were you surprised that the Patriots didn't do anything additionally besides getting Sanu?
I mean, I thought, like, I brought up Vitae's name, I think, with you guys last week. I think that he would have been somebody that would have made some sense, but the Eagles weren't going to give him away because they knew how, you know, there's an offensive line issue across the NFL. So, I always thought, like, if they were going to make another move, it was probably going to be somebody like that, maybe a Tyler Eifert. The problem with Eifert is that the Bengals wanted a three for him, and I don't think the Patriots were of a mind to give up that sort of draft capital. And if there was a mistake that New England made, to me, it was, I think you need offensive line help, right? That's clear. And I don't know, like, Isaiah Wynn can be a really, I think he can be a good left tackle, but we don't, it's hard to trust him from a health standpoint based on what we've seen in a year and a half. Like, if there was one thing that I think you can criticize him for, it was, like, making all of these sort of low-level, like, dart throws at offensive linemen over the last 2 months. Bodine and Illuminor and Corey Cunningham, they trade for Corey Cunningham. I mean, the Cardinals, when they at that point, had one of the worst offensive line groups in the league, and you're trading for one of their backups. Like, who's surprised that didn't work out? You know what I mean? Like, so I think if you can criticize them, it's, well, why did you just sort of throw all these resources at all these low-end moves? And I know you didn't, like, sell off a second or a third-round pick. Wouldn't it have made more sense to actually trade for a known commodity when you knew you needed help?
Where does Josh Gordon wind up now that he's a free agent?
Well, what's interesting about this one, and we'll know at 4 o'clock today, but what's interesting about this one to me is how the Patriots, and look, I don't think that he had much trade value, but how the Patriots in this situation have sort of managed it where there's a chance he goes to a non-contender. And here's why. So first of all, everybody knows about the whole thing with the IR, right? Like, so you hold him until after the trade deadline, so he's subject to waivers, which means he can't pick where he goes. He has to go through the waiver process. The waiver process works. It's the draft order. So you have the worst teams get the first shot at you to pick up your contract. So at first you might be thinking, well, why would a team that's not in contention even bother with that? Well, the reason why is because you can get a comp pick.
Right.
And so, like, basically there's going to be some team out there, and comp pick's like a net loss thing. So with the comp picks, like, you need to, like, lose more than you gain to get a comp pick. But there could be a team like an Atlanta. Like, Atlanta's totally capped out, right? Like, their cap situation's a mess. If you're Atlanta, do you look at it and say, well, let's just claim him. Maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. Worst case scenario, he walks, and maybe we get, like, a fifth round comp pick for him.
Okay.
It's like a free draft pick.
Right.
In a lost season.
Yeah.
So, why wouldn't you do that?
Sure.
So I think, in essence, what the Patriots have done here, and I'm not trying to make them geniuses for doing this, because I think it is, like, kind of crappy that, you know, Gordon's in this situation now based on everything he's gone through. But, you know, you look at it and you're the Patriots, it's like, okay, like, let's make sure that he doesn't wind up on the Colts or the Texans or the Chiefs or somebody that we're going to have to contend with.
Okay. All right. We'll be back with more Burt Breer from MMQB, and we will have the headlines right here.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
That's an app. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's tough to sit there and hold your tongue.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got you stuck off the realness. We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official Queensbridge murderers. The mob comes equipped for warfare. Beware of my crime family who got enough shots to share for all.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Burt Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB, and is brought to you this morning by New England Fat Loss. Find out more at newenglandfatloss.com. Now, Burt, last night, Jimmy Garoppolo in a very tight game against the Cardinals. Looks good. We had on Will Brinson, and we were talking about the future of Tom Brady, which we've talked to you about, and he raised the possibility, would San Francisco trade Garoppolo for Brady? And his reasoning for that is Garoppolo is, while his record is very good, is just an okay quarterback. Now, do you agree with his opinion on Garoppolo just being okay?
I don't think we know yet. I mean, he's coming off an ACL, and I think one of the best things that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have done for him this year, it's not all on him. You know, like, they have one of the more creative running games in the league. They've made it work even without both their starting tackles, like, right? Like, Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey have been out of the lineup, and they've really leaned on the defense. And I think it's a very logical thing to do that a lot of teams wouldn't do, where it's let's take the responsibility off of our quarterback to win games while he's coming back from a torn ACL. Beginning of the year, he was still less than 12 months removed from the torn ACL, and we'll let him grow back into what he was before. And so I think back half of the season, we're going to find out more about who he is, but I don't think that it's fair to evaluate where he is an NFL quarterback based on the first eight games, because A, he was coming back off the ACL, and B, the Niners intentionally took a lot off his shoulders because they wanted to make sure that they had a confident quarterback going into the back half of the season.
Okay, we brought this up before, and but Wallach asked it, so I'm going to pretend that he didn't. Who is the worst coach in the NFL right now?
I mean, the next one to get fired will probably be Dan Quinn.
Right, but is he the worst?
No.
When you watch games around the league, who is wildly considered the worst?
It's a tough question for me to answer, but I got to look at the standings. I mean, I know you guys want me to say Freddie, right?
That's exactly what I want you to say.
But you don't think
so
he is.
So you're intentionally putting me in a tough
yes,
spot.
Yes, that's correct.
There. But you don't think
I know
he
you
is.
Know him.
You don't think Freddie Kitchens is.
I don't think, like, I just.
Is he
here's my problem.
A victim of his quarterback?
Here's my problem with, like, the criticism of Freddie is we see some of the things that happen on Sunday, and, like, I'm not defending it. It looked like there were big pieces of that looked like a freaking clown show. But I'm thinking about the infrastructure, too. And I know we focused on the fourth down play, but I look at the challenges. Like, why isn't someone yelling in his ear, right? Like, do not challenge this. Like, the OPI challenge to me.
Yes.
I understand that those sorts of plays are common in the NFL, right? Like, and I understand that the teams get away with that on a week-to-week basis. But by the letter of the law, it was a penalty. So don't challenge it. Because you know you're going to lose. And I understand getting emotional about it because, like, we've gotten away with this 50 or 60 times in the last 6 weeks maybe, right? But don't act on emotion. And why isn't there someone upstairs in his ear yelling at him, do not throw the challenge flag? It's, I mean, here, that's Ernie Adams, right? Like, Ernie Adams is on the headset here.
Right.
So why isn't there some, and I look at, And I think John Dorsey's done a good job too, but, like, I look, like, organizationally where they are, and it's like John Dorsey had such a big hand in putting that coaching staff together around him. And, you know, now it's like, why isn't the infrastructure in place to support a guy who 12 months ago was the quarterback's coach, right? Who has, I think at this point, less than a full season of play calling experience. And he's the head coach also, so he's doing both.
You think he should still be calling plays, or he should move that?
They've got a very good offensive coordinator, and that's the one thing that I don't really... I mean, look, that's the one thing I don't understand, and that's one thing that's like... You know, I think we've seen this before where, you know, like, other people in the building have a hand in putting a coaching staff together, and you see a qualified person get put on a staff, and then that person isn't used to the extent of their abilities. And I think that's happened because Todd Monken, like, last year, even in, like, a freaking dumpster fire situation in Tampa where it was clear that people were getting fired and the whole thing was coming undone, Todd Monken, you remember what he did with Ryan Fitzpatrick there, like, and how explosive they were at the beginning of the year,
right?
And so, like, you've got this guy in the building. It's, why don't we just lean a little bit more on him?
Who's
why
that on?
It's on Kitchens.
It's on Freddie. It's on John Dorsey. It's on. It's on everybody.
If you're Bert, it's Freddie. Obviously, they have a very good relationship.
It's on. Mm-hmm. It's on everybody.
He's carrying his water.
It's more on the head coach.
Not carrying his water.
More on the head coach than anybody else.
I'm just telling you. Like, these teams. Like to me, what's so backwards about this is, look, we've seen this too now, right? Brian Flores never had a coordinator title, right? He only called defensive plays for 1 year. He's a head coach. Zach Taylor, quarterback's coach with the Rams. He never was a coordinator. He becomes a head coach. We're seeing this more and more. And what I don't understand about it is why aren't you building up infrastructure to support the guy?
Right.
If you're in these situations, like, and it's like I even look at, like, the teardown in Miami, right? And I think that they're doing a lot of the right things. And there's a logic to the way they're putting that team together. But it's like, you know, Brian Flores is coming in here bringing a demanding program, right? And you know he's going to ask X, Y, or Z of the players and how tough it's going to be. And, like, if they don't have a chance to win games,
he's going to lose the team.
It's going to be hard for him to hold the team. Like, right. So, like, in a lot of these situations, I just think it's like, I don't have a huge problem with taking shots on young people, right? I mean, I think we've seen that in, like, a lot of different walks of life. People took shots on me when I was young.
Right.
Like, but I think if you're not putting infrastructure in place to create fail safes when things go wrong, like on those challenges on Sunday, like, you're just not giving the guy, like.
All right. Who's the worst coach in the NFL?
I'm looking at the list now. The worst head coach in the NFL. You guys pick first.
Hey, I think you know our pick.
It's Freddie.
Oh, yeah.
It's Freddie for both of you?
Yes.
I mean, I could be Flores. I don't know. Could be Gase.
It's Freddie.
Gase is in the mix, right?
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, Vic Fangio, I think, is a great defensive coach. I don't know that he's
too young.
As a head coach. Yeah. It's a tough question, man.
Oh, come on.
You guys know what my job is. Like,
you got 10 seconds. Just who's the worst coach in the NFL?
I mean, right now, I would say, like, if you look at the results on the field, the talent versus, you know, what's been produced, I'm like, and I love what Dan Quinn's done, but I think Dan Quinn's probably done the worst job in 2019.
Okay. All right. So
I don't think he's the worst coach.
Sports Illustrated is against Dan Quinn. All right, we'll be back in just a moment with more Burt Berea.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Tub. Boston's home for sports. Aaron Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick.
Who turned off Frank Sinatra? This guy, Danny Brown. You don't know. You have a perfect voice to sing calypso. Please.
Office rocker, he's office rocker. Please, Mr. Officer, I only had some vodka. Little marijuana, just a few biker. And only reverse circle around.
98.5 Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. There is a man by name of Burt Breer here. He is with MMQB. And I will ask you this, sir. Can the Ravens beat the Patriots this Sunday night?
I think it's unlikely.
Why?
Because the thing that Bill does best is he makes you play left-handed. He takes you out of your comfort zone. He's going to make you do what you don't want to do. And my feeling is he's going to find a way to make Lamar Jackson, the passer, beat them rather than having to deal with Lamar Jackson, the runner, on a down-to-down basis. And look, I think there's a chance that Lamar gets to the point where he can do that. I just don't know that he can right
can
now.
Can he pass from the pocket?
He can throw from the pocket, but I don't know that he can do it consistently. And if you... His accuracy has gotten better. So he throws a good deep ball, got good touch on the deep ball. His accuracy underneath is still scattershot.
Right. There was news coming out of the draft that he was not intelligent.
So, but I think like one thing you've seen is like a pretty consistent improvement from him. So yeah, that would fly in the face of that. I mean, we've seen like he's gotten better, like, and he's better than he was last year as a passer. He's processing faster. Mm-hmm. And so, like I think the evidence that we have to this point is he's become a better player than he was. Like, that said, like, he had a long way to go when he came into the league. And so I still think he isn't there yet. Preparing for them, and it's funny because when I was on the midday show earlier in the week, I asked Kyle Van Noy, did you play against one of the service academies in college? The reason I asked that question is because that's what this is like. The way they've set up that offense, Greg Roman, you saw him do it in Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor. You saw him do it in San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick. They're running a college offense. Mm-hmm. And what you're going to see is, like, they're fairly basic in the passing game, incredibly complex in the running
game. Okay, so they run, so like they're like Air Force?
Yes.
All right, so they run like a triple option?
They're Air Force, they're Army, they're Navy, yes.
Well, hey, Army almost beat Michigan.
Yeah, and so I don't think... like,
they did?
Huh?
Wallach's laughing, and I said...
No, it's true.
No, they did. They missed a field goal.
It's true.
Right.
This might not be a vintage Michigan team, though. Anyway.
I don't think there ever will be one again, as long as that prick is coach.
But I think what you're going to see from Bill is Bill's going to find a way, however that happens, to take to minimize Lamar Jackson, the runner, which is hard to do because he's a Michael Vick type of athlete, right?
Yeah.
Beat him in the passing game. And there are a couple ways you can do it. I mean, you can do it. I mean, one, you're not going to be able to play as much man because everybody's backs to the ball if you're playing man and he can just take off. So you're going to have to play more zone. So that's going to take the Patriots defense out of its comfort zone a little bit. You can spy him, but that's hard to do because most linebackers can't run with him. So then do you move a safety down? If you move a safety down, then you're dealing with their downhill running game with all the size that they have, Mark Ingram and everything else coming at you. So they create a lot of conflict with Lamar. Like they've been really, really effective doing that. But I think Bill will find a way. And the other way you can do it, it's hard when you're playing that sort of offense to play from behind.
Yeah.
And so if you can find a way to score quickly, if you can get on top of them 14-0, whatever it is, like really fast, then I think you take them out of their comfort zone a little bit. It makes it harder to play their game. And their defense, guys, has been very, very up and down. In fact, internally, there are questions about toughness. There are questions about like whether or not some players in that group had bought in.
Do they miss the veterans? Do they miss like a Suggs?
Well, they lost Suggs. They lost Mosley. They lost Eric Weddle. And
Mosley can't stay healthy.
They cut. Kick him to now, the you guys, like this sort of flew under the radar, but Timmy Williams, I believe, was a second or a third round pick 2 years ago for them out of Alabama.
Yeah.
They cut him in the middle of the week. 3 weeks ago.
See, I thought Harbaugh got a little bit of credit for not letting that happen.
Like, and that was, they cut Timmy Williams. And the reason why they cut Timmy Williams, I don't even know if it's out there, but the reason they cut Timmy Williams was like, look, this guy didn't want to buy into the program. This guy didn't want to play the sort of game we wanted him to play.
Yeah.
We're sending a message to everybody. This guy's out of here. And so they cut him. The guy who's starting at middle linebacker for him right now, Josh Bynes, they signed on October 2nd. Like, that's their play call. That's their signal caller on
what,
defense.
What defensive players?
So they've got all
players,
kinds of issues that they've been working through.
What defensive players out of Alabama do we have right now that are stars?
Mosley's really good when he's healthy.
Yeah, but he's not healthy.
I mean, Fitzpatrick, do you count him?
Sure.
Okay.
Because there are more hits than misses.
I mean, Rolando McClain was a good player when he wasn't like, you know, carrying semi-automatic rifles and stuff.
You say they don't have a big character check when Saban signs a kid.
It might not be like number one on the list. Landon Collins is okay.
Yeah, but it's just
Drake Patrick's okay.
It's just that when you see Alabama's defenses and all the guys that go in the first round or at least the first couple rounds, like a lot of those guys don't pan out.
Well, they're like the Patriots.
Hightower.
They're the same. Hightower's one. Yeah, they're exactly like the Patriots. Like what you hear, you know, in the college level is like they're not always the most talented team, but Saban knows exactly what he's looking for.
Well,
one of the things
position.
He brings in guys that fit what he wants to do, and he can move them around the way he wants to move
like
them around.
Like when Milner was on the Jets, they said one of the things that happened is that he was being undercoached at the NFL level. Due to the restrictions placed on the coach.
So the reputation of Alabama players, this is offense and defense, like of them coming out, is that they're all beat up and they're maxed out.
Yep.
Because they're beat up because that program's demanding and because of the way that Saban works them. And they're maxed out because they've been coached so well in college that like whatever you see on the college tape, that's what you're going to get because Saban's been able to kind of get every single piece of ability out of him that he could.
Real quick, I don't even know if you talked about this, and I did. Shame on me. I was editing something in the room. Is there a chance Josh Gordon goes through waivers?
They clears?
Yeah, clears waivers.
I'd be surprised, and I mentioned this to Fred. But
yeah, we already talked about it.
But the comp pick thing, I think, is sort of an under kind of an under the radar thing here.
The idea is that you pick him up and then you get the comp pick for him in next year's draft.
Which is like what the Patriots are banking on.
Okay.
Because, you know, the reason they hold on to him for the extra week is so he has to go through waivers, right? So he doesn't wind up on Houston or Indianapolis or Kansas City or whoever. And so the next question would be, well, why would a non-contender pick him up? Like, that wouldn't make any sense. Why would you put yourself through that if you're not in contention? Well, you know, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent after this year. So, like, a non-contender could just say, we'll pick him up, see if it works out. If it doesn't, we get a free draft pick for him.
Okay. Right. There you go. Bert Breer, he of MMQB and hater of Deadspin. He is in our studios.
It's taking a lot of restraint for me to stay quiet on that one this week.
Yes, I won't ask you.
Am I a hero? It's not for me to say.
I won't ask you, but I think that they were pretty ballsy for what they did and how they handled that, but you tend to disagree with me. All right, well... I'll tell you this.
We can get into that if you want later.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you a call. It'll be better than being with my parents. All right, so here's the deal, is that it was Halloween yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for celebration.
Yep, we have something coming up right after John Wallach's headlines, a little bit of a something that we were teasing. We will get to that.
All right, here are the headlines.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Matt from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. With Clear Tide, you can say goodbye to heavy lifting, missed deliveries, bottle storage, and worrying about how much bacteria might be living in your bottled cooler, and say hello to purified, endless refreshment, all for one flat monthly rate.
What are you waiting for? Visit bottlefreeboston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's bottlefreeboston.com, and make sure to tell Matt and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.